Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, despite the fact that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which at one point had been up close to 500 points, actually came down, still up, but 30 points today. Does that mean that maybe there are some people out there who are concerned about the economy, who look at things like this $1.9 trillion rescue package and say, wait a minute, this may not be the greatest idea in the world. Okay, so what's the alternative? And that's basically the theme of a terrific column, and I wanted to have the author on. She's been on with us before. Her name is Megan McArdle. She writes a regular column for the Washington Post, and she is also the author of the recent book, The Upside of Down, Why Failing Well is the Key to Success. Megan, what I appreciate, and I think for once the headline to your column got the whole theme of it extremely well. The headline says, I get the indignation, but where are the ideas, Republicans? You're saying it's not going to be enough for Republicans in 2022 if they want to take back the House and the Senate, if they just grumble and complain about things in the culture wars and the various big economic spending packages the Democrats have taken on.
Yeah, you know, I think what we saw certainly this week is that we've got this big spending package. A huge amount of it is just giveaways to Democratic favored groups, right? There's aid to schools, even though none of it's going to be spent by fall, according to the Congressional Budget Office. There is a bailout for multi-employer pension plans that has nothing to do with COVID. There is money for state and local governments that, again, actually surprisingly has not suffered what I certainly would have predicted in March, that they would be having these massive revenue shortfalls. That just hasn't materialized, but we're still giving a bunch of aid to state and local governments. And, of course, you've got these giant $1,400 checks. Now, I like checks. Everyone likes getting a check. What's not to like about getting a check? But, you know, we're borrowing that money. And that's something that Republicans used to be better at saying, hey, wait a minute, if we're going to borrow money and spend. And to be clear, there are things I think we should borrow money and spend on during the pandemic. It's a genuine national emergency. And, you know, the government in many cases has shut down people's ability to run their businesses. The government should have made those people whole. And so in some ways, we haven't spent enough. But then we're spending a bunch of other money that we don't need to. Household balance sheets have never been healthier. In fact, there's $1.6 trillion of extra savings that have gone into people's bank accounts during the pandemic because there's nothing to spend money on. And Republicans have not been able to voice opposition to these basic things, these things that, you know, used to be kind of the core of the Republican agenda is smaller government, but also responsible government. You know, they've just not been able to. And even when you talk about the culture war stuff, which is something they certainly talk about a lot, you know, Ramesh Panuru of National Review and Bloomberg Opinion had a really good point. Was he interviewed Tom Cotton, and Tom Cotton sort of talked about cancel culture, which, to be clear, I think is a problem. But then at the end, Ramesh was like, so what would you do? And Tom Cotton didn't really have an answer for that. And that's a really dangerous, dangerous trend in conservative politics and in the Republican Party especially, is this focus on stuff that makes voters mad and not without reason, but for which there's not actually a political solution. And, like, that's not what politics is for. Politics is for solving the problems that we have in a way that allows us to do it without shooting each other. And Republicans seem to have lost sight of that. They've lost sight of having a big vision. And I think that even just beyond the fact that I don't think that's how you should try to run politics, a big problem is that like, at the end of the day, what are you going to take to voters? What are voters supposed to be supporting you for? You can't just keep going out and asking them to support you against. You know, Joe Biden is not Hillary Clinton, for one thing. And Republicans have not put forward an idea of what's going to carry the party and the movement into the 21st century.
Well, I agree with you completely, and it's very well put. The one thing that I would throw back at you is that the greatest off-year election Republican victory of my lifetime occurred in 1994, when it's unbelievable. They need to gain, the Republicans, they need to flip 5 House seats, and they take control of the House this time. They flipped 63 in 1994. And it was partially because of the contract with America. In other words, they didn't like what Clinton was doing. They were right not to. He raised taxes. He tried and failed to impose Hillary care. None of that was working. But Newt Gingrich, who was then the minority leader in the House of Representatives, had this great idea, which is, we have to offer a constructive alternative. So they did a 10-part pledge that every Republican candidate signed about reform legislation that they were going to take on. And virtually all of those things got what they promised, which was a vote on the floor of the House. And we moved in that direction. Wouldn't something like that lend itself, don't you think, to 2022?
I think that would be fantastic. I mean, it's just as you say, right? They were putting forward an affirmative agenda. And some of those agenda items were really big items, things like welfare reform, which, you know, revolutionized how a program that had existed for decades was carried out, and in a way that by the way, moved a bunch of women and their kids out of poverty. So, yes, you know, the Republican Party doesn't this time have that kind of vision. They don't have that kind of just agenda that you can tell voters, like, vote for us and this is what you're getting. Not vote for us and that's not what you're getting.
One thing that was on that the contract with America was a balanced budget amendment, which sounds like almost a joke today when you have a $4 trillion budget, could be more, $4 trillion deficit. What about just that pledge, which, by the way, the Newt Gingrich Republicans kept the pledge? They balanced the budget. They did it. What if there was just an emphasis on that, together with some specifics of how that budget could be balanced?
Gosh, I would love to see that. But I think you do have to remember that one of the core problems is that a current Congress can't bind a future Congress, right? So you pass a balanced budget amendment, that's going to be a long process, right? This is not going to happen quickly. If you give a balanced budget promise, I think it's great, and I think that they should do that. But you can't actually force Congress to, you know, a future Congress to go along with that. And I think that there is this calculation now that, you know, even if I am responsible, the other party is going to be irresponsible. So I might as well just say you only live once and go for the gusto. I think it's tremendously destructive. But I think that we can't get out of it by trying to amend our way out of it, right? Because even an amendment would have and it would have an out clause for emergencies, right?
It would say that you need two-thirds.
Two-thirds
of the House and
Senate. Right, but that's the thing. You know, one of the things that actually really disturbs me about watching how this bill went through, this COVID relief bill, alleged COVID relief bill, went through Congress, is how little opposition Republicans put up. Right? I mean, they're, you know, how little they're opposing the raising the minimum wage and these giveaways to teachers' unions and all the rest of it. They weren't there. And if they're not going to show up and define themselves...
In fairness, not a single one of them voted for the bill in either House, right? There's not a single Republican supporting that bill.
I think that that's right. But I also think, you know, they're not coming out and giving... They're not communicating a message that persuades the public. They're kind of very willing to go in, you know, to go along with more and more things that used to be off the agenda. And maybe that agenda needs to change. But then you've got to come up with another agenda, tell the public what it is, and let them decide whether they're willing to support it. And the Republican Party hasn't done that either.
Meghan McCardle has made this case as forcefully as I've heard it made recently. Her column is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. She's a columnist for the Washington Post and author of The Upside of Down, Why Failing Well is the Key to Success. We'll be right back. I first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks. A sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
Michael Medved's marvelous malice-making media machine.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
And don't get me wrong, I do not believe that a Republican victory and a a truly historic Republican victory is at all out of the question in 2022. I do think it's going to be dependent upon developing an agenda that isn't just indignation. The one thing that can help Republicans are divisions among Democrats, and there are things that are said occasionally by Democratic senators, particularly Joe Manchin, believe it or not, more recently Kyrsten Sinema, who's been very strong on maintaining the filibuster in the Senate, which is very important. Joe Manchin said this, and it sounds so reasonable, because, of course, they're talking in the House right now about the minimum wage, and they're going to have to drop the minimum wage raise to $15 out of the House bill to approve the Senate bill. That's part of what's happening right now. And this is what Joe Manchin indicates, which I think is true, indicating that he is at least the senator from West Virginia, former governor of West Virginia, in a state that President Trump carried by more than 2-1. He really did. It was a very pro-Trump state. This is what he has to say about raising the minimum wage and how to do it. This is clip one.
Well, I think that every Republican wants to raise the minimum wage. Everyone's just not in sync with Bernie Sanders at $15. A lot of the areas already have $15. I agree with Joe Biden when he says anybody that goes to work every day and works full-time should be above the poverty guidelines. That's where my $11 comes in. This is stuff that we're just not making up, or I'm making up. Basically, I'm talking to people as professionals who basically look into this. And you say about the economists. The economists are the ones telling us that this economy is going to take off. Let's get ready to go. And you said that no Republicans got involved at all in the process. I had 10 Republicans I worked with for about a month, and a lot of the things that I was able to get in the bill were things we worked with them, Chris.
Well, why didn't they vote?
The biggest thing we did is put the tranches. Well, it was higher than what they wanted it to be, I guess. You'd have to ask them. But a lot of the things we talked about, they never thought it should be above a certain figure. I think they would have gone 1-1, 1-2, or 1-3. But at 1-9, they might have thought it was bigger than what they would vote for or support. I want to make sure that we're able to come out of this COVID. And it's going to take longer than just this year. We're going to have to be facing this in 2022. We have money that's spread out for that part.
Okay, that's Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, sounding shockingly reasonable for a Democrat. On the other side of the Democratic Party, I'm thinking about my mom recently and my mom has been gone for 20 years, but my mom was a member of United Teachers of Los Angeles, and she was an elementary school teacher in the last 20, 25 years of her life. And the head of UTLA is now someone who even my liberal-leaning mother would not tolerate. Just no way. The president of UTLA is Cecily Myart Cruz, and she makes this interesting case that reopening the schools, which finally they've agreed to partially, somewhat, at least begin to reopen the schools in California, that doing that at all is racist. This is unbelievable in her response to the governor's plan. Governor Newsom, who's going to get a recall election, Governor Newsom's plan to go back to some in-person learning. Listen.
Once again, educators are being asked to make up for those leadership failings, including a failure to properly fund and support our schools and our most vulnerable students and communities. We are being unfairly targeted by people who are not experiencing this disease in the same ways as students and families are in our communities. If this was a rich person's disease, we would have seen a very different response. If you condition funding on the reopening of schools, that money will only go to white and wealthier schools that do not have the transmission rates that low-income black and brown communities do. This is a recipe for propagating structural racism, and it is deeply unfair to the students we serve.
In other words, even schools that are able to reopen, which are, by the way, not only lily white schools, that's not the only schools that are going to be reopening, at least for part of in-person learning. What a ridiculous notion. That because there may be places where in-person learning is more needed, then you shouldn't... I don't even begin to understand the logic. And the emphasis that she brings to the lack of funding for education, these are easily available numbers. California spends, it's certainly one of the top spending states per student in terms of the money that they spend. And they spend a great deal more of taxpayer money than the tuition at most private schools per child. And the United States per child spends on our educational system double, triple what other countries do with much better educational results. And the teachers union is unquestionably part of it. And this, by the way, is one of those issues that I think you will find thoughtful liberals will agree on. They will. And I'm thinking of a documentary film that was made about a decade ago called Waiting for Superman, which was basically about charter schools, about choice in education. And it was made from the point of it was made by, I believe it was Charles Guggenheim, or Davis Guggenheim, the son of Charles Guggenheim, and who's a big liberal, was very involved in political campaigns for a lot of liberal candidates, was talking about how awful it is that black and Latino parents who want to escape from failing schools are not allowed to. That teachers, and some of the documentary shows it, teachers who go into class, teach nothing at all, and are clearly incompetent because of the unions, they are protected. None of this works. Speaking of protected, there's more shocking news about Andrew Cuomo. You'll never guess. This time it's a different setting, but kind of the same story. We'll bring that to you and more coming right up on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
Outrageous.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Republican leaders are slamming the Biden administration's border policies.
Today we're seeing 3,000 or 4,000 illegal crossings a day at our southern border. It is a national crisis.
and it needs to be confronted by President Biden, and he refuses to acknowledge this.
House Republican Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana. Scalise also saying there are super spreader caravans coming across our southern border, which is a reference to the coronavirus outbreak. Jury selection is moving forward in ex-cop Derek Chauvin's trial. The former Minneapolis police officer is accused of killing George Floyd and is facing charges of manslaughter and second-degree murder. Chauvin was originally charged with third-degree murder last October, but a judge dismissed it, saying it didn't apply to the case. Security is tight around the courthouse. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Michael Medved Show, there is I mentioned to you there's new Andrew Cuomo news. There seems to be every day. I am losing count, honestly. But another aide to the governor of New York has reported harassment by the governor. But this is different. This is more serious. And I really do not think it is a given that he survives. I don't think it's a given that he's gone or he'll be forced to resign, but it's very, very serious. This new charge took place during an encounter. This is according to the Times Union in from Albany. It took place during an encounter in New York's executive mansion, where the governor lives. That's what the Times Union just reported. The unnamed aide told a supervisor that the governor inappropriately touched her at the mansion, the governor's home, where she had been summoned for work late in 2020. I mean, it's just weeks ago. This is the fourth allegation of harassment or inappropriate behavior by an employee of the governor during his time in office. Plus, there's one by a reporter. There's one by Anna Rooch at the wedding reception. And look, this is a very serious matter because, again, this is not, this is somebody who works for him, is being taxpayer funded. And I don't think there is any question in the world that if this were a corporate head right now. He'd be gone. That's just finished. There was a president of Boeing, and there's Boeing news too, which is good, actually. But there was a president of Boeing a few years ago who conducted a longtime affair with another executive at Boeing, and he lost his job. He had done a very fine job as president of Boeing. And by the way, he married the woman with whom he was having this affair, but still there was in the corporation, this is just, you can't do it. You just can't. And this situation with Andrew Cuomo, people should at least entertain the possibility that he would be able to hold on to the Democratic nomination if he chooses to run. And Republicans might actually have a chance in the state of New York. They're Elise Stefanik, who is a congresswoman. She was, when she was elected, the youngest Republican woman ever elected to Congress. I believe she's in her early 30s. She would be and she apparently is considering making the race, a strong challenger against Governor Cuomo. Boeing, I mentioned, has just logged more jet orders than cancellations for the first time in 14 months. In its latest monthly orders and deliveries tally, the jet maker reported it had 82 new orders for airplanes in February. That's outpacing 51 cancellations during the same period. That according to Puget Sound Business Journal. And speaking out of business, about business in Washington State, there is a piece that I just love. I'm very thrilled to see it from U.S. News and World Report. And they have started this rating game that they have of the annual best states. And it includes data on the coronavirus pandemic that's ravaged the country for about a year. But even with the coronavirus pandemic, the same state is on top as rated the best state to live in the country. The same state is on top as was there last year. Let me do the lowest ranked states first, because it's sad. But the lowest ranked states are in descending order down to the very bottom. Kentucky, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Alaska, Alabama, West Virginia, good luck Joe Manchin, New Mexico. It's so surprising for me to see Alaska and New Mexico, because for people who haven't traveled in those two states, they are physically very beautiful states. There is beautiful, beautiful landscape there. And some very interesting cities. Juneau is actually a very nice, that's the state capital in Alaska, in any event. And at the very, very bottom of the barrel, 49th and 50th, Mississippi, and Louisiana at the bottom of the list. Louisiana, I mentioned, has the highest murder rate of any state 31 years in a row. 31 years in a row. There's stuff to be learned here. Okay, in ascending order for the best states in America. And what they say is that they analyze 71 different metrics, like the quality of schools, the quality of the environment, the business climate, the healthcare system, the health of the of the residents, the ability to pursue opportunities, all of the, and they included coping with the COVID-19 crisis. The best states are Florida, that's number 10. Massachusetts, Wisconsin, Virginia, Nebraska, Idaho, New Hampshire, Utah. number three. And then number two, Minnesota, and number one, Washington State. How about that? Second year in a row. And yes, this makes me very happy. There's a fascinating thing here, because if you look at the top six states, four out of those top six states have Republican governors. And two out of the top five states, actually three out of the top six, are very conservative states. Utah is arguably our most conservative state. Idaho is. Nebraska is a very conservative state with a strong Republican, officially nonpartisan, but unicameral Republican legislature. And there's just aspects of Washington State that appear to survive some of the idiocy of Democratic governance. Speaking of the idiocy of Democratic governance, more than a dozen people addressed the Everett, Washington City Council last week, a week ago, to oppose an ordinance that would have made it against the law to sit or lie down and sleep on streets and sidewalks in a 10-block area east of Broadway, which has become sort of a center of the people experiencing homelessness in Everett, Washington. The ordinance would also prohibit people from providing foods, goods, supplies, or services in the area without a permit from the city. Here's the deal. The city would be getting $1 million from the state. And in return for that $1 million, they would put up these little tiny homes on pallets in this area. And the city proposed a deal. And the deal was, okay, we'll build these little homes for the people experiencing homelessness. But then if we're building these homes, it's against the law to then camp out in front of them or to lie in the street. So what happened with the city council and the protests? We'll tell you coming right up on the Medved Show.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Michael Medved Show.
Relief Factor is natural. It uses natural anti-inflammatory ingredients to reduce your level of pain, discomfort, stiffness. It really does work. And a 3-week quick start is amazing. It is a great buy. It's $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You take 3 little packets a day, and you can feel the difference. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor. Did Charles Darwin's work impact society for better or worse? Go to discovery.org/medved and get the free digital book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. Learn how Darwin actually impacted faith, morality, medicine, criminal justice, and much more. Ideas have consequences. For a limited time, get your free copy of Darwin's Three Big Ideas at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com.
I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to Avid Biotech Stock Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
I just wanted to call and throw my 2 cents in.
The Michael Medved Show.
And if you do want to call and throw your 2 cents in, the number is 1-800-955-1776. Talking about what is called the no-sit, no-lie proposal in Everett, Washington. And we were talking about Boeing before. I believe it's the largest manufacturing facility in the world, which is where they produce many of the Boeing planes, is right up there in Everett, of course, for people who aren't from Washington State. But America's rated number one state. But here is the story. The no-sit, no-lie ordinance, as I mentioned to you, is linked to a proposed village of about 20 small pallet dwellings to help transition people from the streets to more permanent housing. The city council could hold a final vote on the proposal as soon as St. Patrick's Day. If approved, the ordinance goes into effect 15 days later. The council voted 5-2 for an amendment that the pallet shelters would only go forward at a location in that neighborhood if the no-sit rule is in place. Because, of course, what neighbors are worried about, though none of the neighbors showed up at the council meeting, unfortunately, but what the neighbors are worried about, and it's perfectly logical, is if you set up 20 little tiny homes on pallets for homeless people, and you allow more homeless people to camp on the streets and in the parks and in front of your home and basically, I don't know, school playgrounds, wherever. If you allow that to happen, then this becomes another center of homeless population with discarded heroin needles and trash. And that's part of this story in Everett, too. There wasn't a single member of the public who had the courage in Everett to stand up and to speak in favor of the no-sit, no-lie ordinance. Now, it's when they say no-lie, they're not talking about telling lies. They're talking about lying out on the street and catching a few Z's. Julie Willie, who's Everett's community development director, said, "We need new strategies for down there." meaning the neighborhood that they're talking about. These businesses have been suffering for a long time. By using these pallets and the no-sit, no-lie law, I believe it will really, maybe, give these poor businesses a break. A 2018 federal court decision prevents governments from enforcing laws that ban homeless people from sleeping or camping on public property in cities where those individuals do not have an alternative place to go, such as a shelter or sanctioned encampments. Okay, that, by the way, it is being appealed. That was a decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and Martin versus City of Boise, and it has to be appealed because it's outrageous. And it's one of the reasons we have so many problems with people under freeway underpasses. If you look at the pictures, I haven't gone up there personally, but the situation in Everett is appalling. The level of garbage. The city attorney for Everett, whose name is David Hall, said the proposal encompasses only a small fraction of the city. The ban is a necessary political trade-off if the city wants to build the pallet shelter village in the neighborhood. All that is required to comply is for homeless citizens to move several blocks away from the area, Hall told the council Wednesday. Obviously, the intent isn't to criminalize behavior, but to change behavior within this small area with the leverage of criminal sanctions. But the hope is that they won't be necessary. In other words, if the city's going to spend $1 million and build these 20 little pallet homes, then and it's $1 million of state money, is it too much to ask that you don't sleep on the sidewalk right there? Someone named Leslie Brown said she delivers food and aid to the people along Smith Avenue as part of a group called Snohomish County Mutual Aid. I think it's important for us to acknowledge that the city of Everett must treat local members of the homeless community as members of our community. She actually said of the houseless community. Is there such a thing as a houseless community, really? Officials said the city spends more than $100,000 each year to clean the streets near Smith Avenue and 37th Street. Crews visit the site 2 to 3 times a week, often requiring heavy equipment like excavators, dump trucks, and flushing trucks to manage the upkeep. This is a unique area in terms of the amount of cleanup my team has to do for the city, said the maintenance superintendent for the Department of Public Works. Okay, they did vote to go ahead and improve that ban on sitting and lying in that particular neighborhood. But one of the things that is incredible, and we're going to get to, is that, and they're very, very rarely connected, and it's true that most people who come into this country illegally, and yes, we have a problem on our border. Even liberals now are admitting there is a problem on our border. And I think it's going to have to be a priority for President Biden, or he's going to be very vulnerable, and he should be, politically on this issue. And the difficulty is we have a homeless problem that neither Republicans nor Democrats nor no one in Congress or very few people in the state legislature really wants to talk about. But does that problem get any easier by admitting refugees, unauthorized refugees, by encouraging more immigration to the United States? Now, it is true. The studies indicate that people who come up here without authorization, without documentation, are very rarely involved in homeless encampments or anything else because they're afraid of being picked up. And basically, people don't come up here to beg in homeless camps. They come up here to work. But that doesn't mean it's okay or that there's not a tremendous problem. We're going to be speaking tomorrow to Ruben Navarrete, who lives close to the border in San Diego, has written about this extensively. He is, of course, native-born American. His dad was a cop in San Diego. And he is talking about Biden may yet overcome the odds and maybe, just maybe, deliver a decent policy for the U.S.-Mexico border. We certainly don't have it right now. This is what the New York Times Daily Podcast admitted, that we may be heading towards the crisis of the border. This is reporter Zolan Cano Youngs of the New York Times, who just recently visited the border to assess the situation. Listen, clip five.
I was actually just at the border. And some of the families I spoke to who had recently arrived did say that another reason is the transition to a new administration. They perceived President Biden, who campaigned on a more compassionate approach to the border than his predecessor, as potentially being more lenient at the border.
So some of the factors behind this are new. Some are older and quite longstanding, but they have combined to create what looks like perhaps a new crisis at the border.
That's what government officials are raising a flag about right now, that we could be heading in the same direction that previous administrations also dealt with.
Okay, this is a very real concern, and obviously it's one of those things where I think the overwhelming majority of Americans believe that border security, that the idea of having a border that is managed, where we know who is coming into the United States and we know on what basis they're coming into the United States, that is essential. Does that mean that a wall or a fence is the only answer? No, but it's part of any answer. And President Trump did leave behind a couple of hundred miles, not covering most of the border, but of new fencing. So where do we go from that? We'll be talking about that, because it is going to be right after they pass this so-called rescue bill on COVID. And right as COVID is beginning to mitigate and get better and we're more hopeful, we have this other crisis to deal with and can't ignore it in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not, it will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.